We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Welcome to Scream Queen.
Whoa, what accent is that?
It's my new fun one.
I thought it was Irish.
I don't even know how Irish goes. Welcome to Scream Queens. Welcome to Scream Queens. There we go. I got it. Move on. One and done. Got it in one.
Perfect. No notes.
This is a podcast where we watch, review, and gossip about everything on your scrizzines.
Scrizzines.
I'm very silly right now.
No, I love it. I feel like we're on MTV Cribs. Today we are talking about, like, our favorite genre here. I think it's Scream. By the way, I'm Beck Charwood. I'm a comedian, writer, podcaster, obviously.
That's I'm Alex J. Comedian, writer, also podcaster. We're the same person.
Okay, crazy. So anyway, what is becoming our favorite genre is kind of fantastic crap.
We love a craptastic film. Mm. It's one of the hallmarks of the movie entertainment industry.
I think it's a growing genre.
Mm.
I have more thoughts about it, but we'll get into it later because today, to announce, we are, I mean, you've read the title, you know, reviewing the Netflix blockbuster rom-com of the year, Irish Witch, featuring the queen herself, Lindsay Lohan.
The one, the only, Miss Lohan. She's back, baby.
She's back. Can I say up top?
Mm.
I love this movie. I loved it.
Can I say I didn't hate it? And I was horrifically disappointed by that.
It's bad. Let me just say that. It's bad. But again, it crosses over. So bad, it's good.
Yes. There is a fine line between fantastic crap and just crap.
Yes.
Right? For example, a fantastic crap, the most famous fantastic crap, Sharknado.
Oh,
fantastic crap. Because when you just lean into the crap,
yes,
you don't try and apologize for the crap. You own the crap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes for a good movie.
Yes.
And I felt like this movie did that.
Definitely. I think without Lindsay Lohan, would have just been crap.
That shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
That movie without Lindsay Lohan.
The level of nostalgia and joy I felt seeing her on screen this whole time.
Hearing her voice.
Her voice has not changed. Like, I didn't realize how unique her voice is.
It really is.
It's really warm and there's like a resonance to it. And I haven't noticed it missing from our screens for so long until watching this.
And she's got that huskiness to it. Yes. It's like sexy but cute and funny.
Yes.
And she looks great.
She looks amazing.
She's been through some hard times, right?
Yeah.
That's like the whole thing. She was like Britney 2.0 at some point.
Hey, she opened like a beach club in Turkey. Right. If someone in your life says, I'm going to open up a beach club, now I'm thinking Turkey might be landlocked and people who know geography are so mad at me. Anyway, she opened a
beach
club.
We're not a geography podcast, all right?
If someone said, hey, I'm going to open a beach club in Europe, I think you need to take them aside and be like, you okay? What's going on?
Yeah.
What if we do a little rehab and then we revisit this idea, see if it's a good...
And then guess what? That beach club does not get open.
It doesn't get open. But then does any beach club get open?
Well,
and then do we never get beach clubs? This is the thing.
It's a real chicken or the egg situation. What came first, the mental illness or the beach club? So it's about, you know, it's one of those philosophy questions. Yes. That
chicken on the egg.
You really can't get your teeth through. So yeah, but she's had some hard times, but fuck, she looks, sounds, feels amazing.
She like seems like she's doing really well.
Yes.
We'd love to see it.
Love to see it because, you know, this child stars thing, you don't see them bounce back very often.
I mean, do we need to mention the Quiet on Set documentary that's just come out?
Have you watched it?
No, it doesn't come out in Australia for, I think, another week.
I was wondering, should we do it for Screen Queens, but like, is it too heavy?
Maybe we just give like the first episode a watch and see how we feel.
And vibe it from there.
And also the internet is doing a fantastic job already of...
I feel like I have seen it.
Haven't it? And also hearing the like stars come out firsthand and talk about it.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. For example, child stars don't bounce back. And this comeback tour that she's nailing it. She's in her comeback era. Justin Timberlake could never.
Could fucking never.
This is how you do a comeback tour, my dude.
Because she's for the girlies.
She's always been for the girlies. She's Mean Girls.
Yes.
You know? And it was just so nice to see her again. So, yeah, if you haven't heard of this film, there's been a lot of chatter online.
I mean, you open up Netflix. It's number one on Netflix.
So I went into this expecting to hate it in a fun way.
Yes.
But, like, really just be like, ugh, rolling my eyes every turn.
And just watching Lindsay just be like, no,
yeah,
babe.
And I opened it and Netflix told me it was number 5.
Whoa.
Out of all of their movies right now. So people are watching it.
Damn. Well, as of, what was it, 2:30 a.m. this morning when I opened it up, it said number shift. One.
Oh, so we bumped it up to number one overnight. Fuck yeah, Australia. Get it. So everyone's been talking about it because it's a rom-com, right? And there's been a lot of discourse around, can we do rom-coms anymore?
Dare I say, it is also a Christmas movie, but there is no Christmas.
Oh, my God, it has such red and green vibes.
Like, you could watch this whole movie and I would be like, oh, yeah, that movie, Christmas movie, Christmas. Irish Wish. And you'll be like, yes, of course. It doesn't happen around Christmas whatsoever. But there's all the hallmarks of a Christmas movie.
A Christmas rom-com.
It was written by and directed by two women who pretty much exclusively do Hallmark Christmas movies.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
They do not shy away from any trope in
oh
this film.
Oh, my God.
If anything, they gather all of the tropes together and smush them up into one film.
Fuck, I mean, what list of tropes? Okay. Oh, my God. Lead who wants to be a writer.
Yes.
My fucking God.
But doesn't have the confidence within her yet.
Yes. Yes. This isn't the work that she wants to be doing.
She's a creative. And guess what? By the end of the film, she's picked up that fucking pen.
And she's ready to write. Can I – look, I think – because maybe this is the third thing I've watched this year, and we're only in March, about – with a woman writer. And then it's been – over the years we've seen this trope of, like, I mean, in The Proposal, in The Devil Wears Prada, in One Day, which we watched recently, it's a woman who – her dream is to be a writer, but she just can't make it work.
How interesting. Why is that a trope, I wonder?
I think it is a thinly veiled attempt at feminism.
Sure.
Of being like, she's a career woman, but in a creative way that's not intimidating anyone or taking anything away from a man.
She can write really nice words and put them together.
Yeah,
and
no matter what end of the political scale you're on, you can see this as some sort of independent woman with goals.
Yes. And we don't know what genre Lindsay Lohan's character likes to write. She might write horror fiction for all we know.
Oh, my God, full-blown smart.
So, yeah, you're right. Trope one, she wants to be a writer.
Yes.
Trope two, I noticed, she's clumsy.
Oh, my God.
She's so clumsy.
She is falling all over the shop. And if you watch any of the, like, promo interviews and stuff, they talk a lot about the physical comedy, which is falling over. And she's great at it. She's great at a stumble, you know, almost flipping through the air into a car.
But it's no Kramer from Seinfeld, obviously the world's greatest physical comedian. Let's not think about his personal life. So within the clumsy trope we had, I couldn't help but notice the first clumsy thing that we see of hers. And again, I say this with love. I say this with all the love.
What it is.
Her scarf gets caught in a taxi door and the taxi rides away and the scarf's still in the door.
Oh, my God.
Where's she going to have a scarf anymore?
Dude, for a second I was like, oh, my God, is this like Final Destination? Is this like the big reveal why this is popping off? It's like, oh, it's a rom-com, but then, oh, my God.
She gets decapitated.
Straight to the afterlife in the first scene. And then it pauses and goes, I guess you're wondering how we got here. That's what I was saying.
Record scratch. Big time.
Anyway, yeah, so the scarf comes off. So I was on the other side of the room when that happened. I didn't need to be watching the screen to know that that's what happened.
Absolutely. It wasn't mentioned until later, but just the flurry of...
No, it was mentioned all in exposition. You hear the door slam, she goes, oh, my scarf! And then it's like, just my luck. And then a few moments later, My friend's like, where's the scarf that I got you? She, you wouldn't believe it was a crazy story. I was like, not that. Anyway.
Her friend? Are they friends?
Okay. This movie undoubtedly, can I say, was written by AI.
That is a lot of what people are saying online. Not that it is, but like that's the joke.
No, it has to be.
Is that it like feels like it's written by AI.
Yes.
Then you've just fed them every fed this system every rom-com that's ever existed, and it's just shot this back out at you, and Lindsay's done her best with it.
Oh, my God. With all of the actors in this, can I say, except for a few, which we'll get to, did their absolute darndest.
They really did, and I was so proud of them. There were so many cringe moments. And they powered through them.
Ed Spaliers.
Who's he?
He
the
plays,
new boyfriend?
Yes.
The photographer?
Yeah, the photographer.
He's from the new season of You.
Yeah, season four. He's the bad guy. Reese Montrose.
Oh, loved seeing him again.
I nearly gave spoiler, skip ahead 15 seconds. He's the Tyler Durden of season four of You. Yes, anyway, you're safe now. Spoiler over. But he was amazing in that. And so he was good. Also, I only clocked this, he was Aragorn in, do you remember the movie Aragorn? In like 2006
sure.
That came out with one of the greatest movie soundtracks by Avril Lavigne. Keep holding on, because I may get there. It's all about riding dragons.
Yes.
I mean, terrible movie, but.
Oh. So he's doing some kind of comeback again, I guess, as well.
Actually, like, I mean, yeah.
What brought him to this film?
Aragorn is in this, doing his absolute darndest.
He's trying so hard,
and I'm really proud of him.
Yeah. So another trope is leaving one country, going to another, being displaced out of your comfort zone. She's clumsy and out of her comfort zone. Oh, my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So this movie is set, if you can't tell by the title.
Crazy.
In Germany.
Crazy if you couldn't. The one thing that would have made this movie like truly slapstick is if it wasn't shot in Ireland.
But it was still called Irish Witch.
Yeah, if it's like in Colorado, but they just put like a lot of green moss around the place to be like, ooh, Ireland.
Could be leprechauns here. So, yeah, set in Ireland. So, yeah, she's in a foreign country. She doesn't know when she has this man who's showing her around, showing her the ropes.
Culture shock. Whoa, they drink beer.
They have accents, but do they? Because everyone in this was English.
Okay, can I say, no one in the main cast here
is Irish. Why was it shot in Ireland?
Fuck were they doing? Like, all of, like, the...
I love it.
Like, so... I mean, Lindsay Lohan, obviously not Irish. Her two friends, not Irish. One of them is American. One of them is British and gets so excited over an Irish accent at the start of the movie, which I was like, I'm pretty sure.
You're well acquainted.
If you grew up in Britain, you've heard a few Irish accents around the place, okay? But then I think Paul, the other writer, he's not Irish.
I think his character is meant to be. I think Paul is the only Irish character in this film.
But the actor's not Irish.
Oh, my God. You can tell because his accent was a little in and out.
Wains.
Yeah.
Which means something different in Ireland, by the way. I know Wains means children, so.
Does it really?
Yeah, Derry Girls. Wains.
Ah.
The Wains. What's the crack?
Oh.
Where was that in this? The biggest crime of this movie is that it's an Irish movie and it wasn't fucking funny. How dare you?
How dare you?
For all the leprechauns and magic and the beautiful scenery and the Guinness and, sorry, not the Guinness, the stout and darts in the pub. You're not going to put jokes in this fucking thing?
Whoa.
How dare you?
It's definitely written by AI.
Yeah.
Because AI can't do jokes.
Mm.
They tried for some jokes in this.
Oh, yeah.
A la the scarf in the door.
And there's a couple of jokes, but a lot of them I read were like, definitely ad-libbed by mostly Lindsay Lohan. All of the written ones.
Can I just do something off script? You guys, please, fuck.
Please. Like, the only joke that I can remember is when everything's going awry at the end.
Oh, everything goes awry so hard.
Yes. Someone goes, oh, my God. And then the priest goes, leave him out of it.
You know what? That's enough. I only need that one joke for this movie. That is enough.
Hey.
This movie is perfect. So yeah, so she had, like, you just can't settle into anything in this film because it's 2 hours. Like, it's just under 2 hours. But once I accepted that I'm not actually going to get anything except for just craptastic fun from this film, that's when it became fun. But I really was trying to give it a chance and, like, learn about the characters, get into the storyline, care about people. But I only cared about it, again, like you said, because Lindsay Lohan was in it. Like, if it wasn't Lindsay playing that character, I don't know anything about that character. Mm. I know nothing about her.
Yeah, she wants to write and she wants to – I mean, she doesn't even want to fuck – the author. Yeah. It's just like this is the weird thing about this. It's a romance movie. Do we see anyone kiss?
Zero sexual tension.
Zero
throughout
sexual tension.
The entire film.
Zero longing. Like,
yeah.
It's all, and all, every feeling was explained in exposition. There was no, like, subtext whatsoever.
Luke made a really good point, which he has made before back in Our Dude Cinema Days. I can't remember about which film, but when he said it, I was like, that's so fucking smart, babe.
Dude, isn't it so annoying that we have a movie podcast and sometimes our partners will say smart things about movies?
Oh, yuck, don't say that.
Shut up.
Don't tell anyone.
What did he say?
He said it about this film, and I was like, that's exactly what it is. He's like, they're only talking exposition.
Yes.
So everything they do, they're always going somewhere as well. They're always traveling or walking or going somewhere. But they're only ever saying, and now we're going here. Mm. And, oh my gosh, look at that thing that we're all looking at. Like, they're only speaking exposition. That's why I was like, are they even friends with each other, the girls and Lindsay Lohan? Because, like, I never see them have anything more than small talk.
Yeah.
It's all small talk.
Yes. Yeah. And just so not how friends talk.
No. But I love this for Lindsay. I heard a take that she might be kind of like trying – the reason she's taken a film so shitty like this is she might be like trying to prove to Hollywood that she can work on set, she can see a film through, she can do press tour because, you know, previously she was a nightmare on set.
Yeah. When she did the Canyons and I think it was the Family Stone.
Okay.
Everyone was like she was a nightmare on set. But also she was like 23 at the time.
She's gone through it.
Try get me to do anything at 23.
I'm so glad no one tried to get me to do anything when I was 23. How embarrassing would that have been?
Yuck. Gross. Well, because she did one other movie before this, Falling for Christmas.
Yes.
So this, I mean, to prepare for this role, obviously. it's a natural step. That's actually going to be the crazy. If that's the case, this is going to be the craziest.
Is this what she was working towards?
Like, reverse narrative that we've seen is using Hallmark movies to get back into Hollywood rather than the other way around.
But ending up in Hallmark movies. Ooh.
She can do it.
She can. She bucks the trend.
I mean, Freaky Friday 2 has been announced.
2024 is the Lindsay Lohan year. Yeah. I'm so excited. Jamie Lee Curtis now and Lindsay Lohan now back together. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. I'm like,
we don't deserve it.
I have a theory it's going to be Jamie Lee Curtis is the grandma, Lindsay Lohan is the mum, and then we're going to get a very cool, like,
up
new
and coming,
young person
actor
as the daughter. Fuck. And tri-generational trauma. Are you kidding me?
Oof. Oh, yum.
Love it.
So, yeah, I think, I agree. I agree with that take as well, that she's like, this is her proving. She's doing these shitty smaller movies to show that she can do it. She still has the chops, which she fucking does.
Yeah.
And I love it for her. I think she nailed it.
One thing I did love is how much they made her run in this movie.
Sure.
Don't make her run.
Look, she's a flat-footed gal.
Yes.
And I think she's like me when I run.
Why we all relate to her. In a way, she's so beautiful. She's such a talented actress.
She looks like Ariel. She looks like a Disney princess in this film. Those extensions, holy
shit. Oh my God. 5 stars to the hair.
Yeah.
Don't make her run. Do it sparingly. It got to a point where when I knew she was about to run, I would look away out of respect.
You either make her clumsy or you make her run. You can't do both.
Yes.
And Lohan, she's a clumsy gal.
Yeah.
Something, let's just run through some fun things. Oh, something that really felt AI-y and did not feel right in this film, how they sometimes have that weird text titles like on a lawn.
Or, oh, yeah.
Like as though it's like, I don't know, The Wolf of Wall Street or something.
Which does feel AI because they did the exact same thing in Air.
Right,
which
okay.
also had some AI vibes in regards to like how text was put in.
Okay.
also music-wise as well, this felt very...
The first song that played... Is it to Luke? That sounds like the royalty-free songs that play in the background of my workout app.
Oh, my God. Thank you for... Yes. Right? If you've ever had to try and find a royalty-free song, you've heard most of the songs in this movie soundtrack. It was crazy. Like, they didn't scroll down at all when they went on to Artlist.io. Sponsor us.
They went straight to the recommended.
They just typed in cheerful but corporate and Christian and went, yep, that's it.
Perfect. That's the mood.
Also, the opening start of being, like, having the definition of a wish.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, because there's a whole mystical element too. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There's a witch lady.
St. Bridget.
Who grants her wish.
Which also, I don't remember them saying that she's a saint.
She doesn't look like a saint.
Until later in the movie. Where they're kind of like, oh, she's like an Irish fairy. And then later, Lindsay's like, I made a wish with St. Bridget. And I was like, okay, well.
She has a name?
Yeah. Would have been cool to explain that lore a little bit
more. She was Irish.
Yes.
I think she was definitely Irish. Person.
Well, her and Corey, the brother, are definitely Irish.
Yes, true. He was cool. I liked him. It was just, there's so many scenes, I think, is what really was why I couldn't like properly get into anything. It just moves so quickly.
Yes.
Suddenly we're here and then we're here and then we're here. And that's where all the dialogue is just small talk.
There was not enough, can I say, my favorite part of rom-coms is the longing look or just like the moment when the music swells and you're like, oh, there's a feeling happening.
It's the subtext of it all.
Yes. There was no room for that. It would just like be like, well, if that's how you feel, cut.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it how they felt?
Yes.
Let us know.
The scene where they're in the pub. What is the... Oh, the photographer's name is James.
James.
By the way, Maddie Paul James.
Please.
The most common names for characters.
I'm surprised we didn't have a Seamus.
Ever. So not even June could escape the name Paul in a movie. Stop it. No more characters named Paul. We've reached...
Stop it.
The limit.
No more people named Paul. We have enough.
Is your dad's name Paul?
Got him. Good. Thank you.
The scene in the pub, which I was like, I think this might be racist.
Right in, let us know.
They go to an Irish pub and he implies that people will kill her if she drinks a wine in the pub. He's like, you don't want to do that around these parts. What?
Decapitation.
Okay.
Okay.
Implying that the Irish are violent. Not cool. Then he's like, and then she's like, and he's like, you got to play darts. And she acts like she's never seen a darts board in her whole life.
Which is another trope, right? In rom-coms, it's the boy teaching the girl things that she definitely already knows.
And then I throw two darts on the board and then he's like, would you like a dance? We have to have one dance before you go. And it's not even a jig. It's full-blown Irish dancing.
River dancing.
Full-on river dance. You could have put the big skirts on him and like the high curly ponytail. I was like, come on, you want to. That's what you want to do in this scene.
100%. They're like, we've got to put something Irish in here. A jig.
Yeah.
At this point, I missed it because another beautiful thing about this film is you don't have to be on the couch the whole way through.
No.
You can wander. You can do chores. Because you know what's happening.
Yes.
It's so, in that way, it's beautiful. It's so tropey that you just hear the buzzwords and you know exactly what's going on.
Mm.
Nothing surprises you in this film.
Oh, my God. I was making a full ramen. I had it, like, on the bench in the kitchen and I was making ramen and whenever music came on, I would just dance to it because I was so stress-free. I was like, no questions in my mind. What's happening next? Let's go.
No questions in my mind. I accept everything.
Yeah, of course.
And so I initially missed the river dance scene, but I knew that I was alerted to the fact that it was happening because my betrothed started Irish dancing into the kitchen towards me. So this movie's really fun for everyone.
Your fiance is awesome.
For the whole family.
I'm a big fan. That's so sweet. He's like, oh, she can't watch the movie. I'll bring it to her.
Everyone has fun in this film. You can't fault it.
It does make you want to dance for some reason. Did you dance at all during this movie?
I might have grooved a little. I might have done a little, what's that, Kylie Jenner?
Her little dance. Little hip thing.
Might have chucked one of those on. Did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I danced a lot.
Despite it being royalty-free
music. And also, I was like, again, I'm making a ramen at like 3 a.m.
Oh, I forgot this was 3 a.m.
Yeah.
For you?
For night shift, by the way. I don't just – I'm really not trying.
To timeline you keep.
Not watch movies at crazy hours, get into that headspace again. But this one I had to. And it was the right vibe for it.
100%. Oh, my God, I would love to watch this at 3 a.m. with a ramen.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Speaking of the pub scene, it gave me big Titanic vibes of when Rose slums it down to the third class. Because she's this, like, I mean, she's got red hair. True. And she's this, like, we don't really know. Well, we don't know what Lindsay Lohan's character's background is. We don't know if she's well off or where she's come from or anything about her. But she was very, it was the out of place-ness of her being, because she's American in an Irish pub. And then they started dancing. I was like, very Jack and Rose.
Yes.
Very Jack and Rose.
Also, he's not Irish.
Oh, that's true.
So he's not showing her his country.
I was very annoyed at, and this is, again, because there just wasn't enough time for dialogue, was annoyed at how no one was asking enough questions during this movie.
There was no wondering at all. Everyone knew what was happening at all times.
But things were going, so this is a wedding, essentially. This whole movie is based around a wedding. And things were going wrong in the wedding. Like, they didn't have a photographer. That's why they needed. Also, they live in a Saltburn-style mansion. How do they only afford one guy to photograph this entire wedding? A guy that's never photographed people. It's just, I love it.
Also, the crazy, like, her coming into, so for anyone that doesn't know, I'm sure by this point of listening, you've watched it.
Please.
She wakes up and she makes a wish to be betrothed to her boss, which, yuck. Anyway, and then she wakes up after the wish is granted, and it's the day before their wedding. Oh, my God, in this new reality.
Yes.
And she has no questions to answer or ask about the organization of this event.
Nope. Or her new life.
No.
Or the new reality she's woken up in. She's just befuddled and clumsy about it.
Yeah, there's no caterers coming to ask her anything. There's no email she's going to get back to. There's no decorators being like, hey, how about these bouquets?
Do you like these ones? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, so yeah, the photographer falls through. What else? They just did not. There was no urgency. The wedding dress gets changed the day before the wedding.
Yeah. No.
That's fine.
the mum flies in.
Oh.
The day
of the wedding.
Also, can I say, this is so, that whole fraught mother-daughter relationship, so written by AI.
Yes.
Of like, what is the fraught, it's like, she calls her mum regularly.
They have a fantastic relationship. Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know if my mum's showing up. It's like, well, you talk to her three times a week.
Can you just text her?
Yeah.
Shout out to Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, who plays her mum.
Oh.
That was great to see her.
Wait, who's Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
She also played Kitty Cat in Wedding Crashes, the mum.
Oh, with the yes, I the knew. Boobies. I knew her from somewhere.
Yeah. They've got a great cast in this film. They in the before time, before she changes, she's like just lost her bridesmaid's dress because the luggage just, and no one's freaking out about it.
Yeah. No one's trying to offer a solution. They're like, we'll get to the day and see what happens.
We'll just play it by ear. I love it. And it was just that perfect of, I wasn't angry at any of these things. They were beautiful and so enjoyable.
Yeah. It's that satisfaction you get because, like, I could never write a movie. But then when you see this stuff for a second, you get to be like, maybe I could write a movie.
Well, in that case.
Maybe it is that easy.
Oh, well, look, this is what they're doing.
I think this movie is indicative of something. Mm. Oh, two cultural trends. One, I think this movie is indicative of a massive Irish supremacy when it comes to entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
ooh, yeah, big time.
I mean, moments ago at the Oscars, Irish actors and actresses, no, actors, mostly actors.
Mm.
Yes, because we had Cillian Murphy, Barry Keoghan.
Yes.
I mean, also Domhnall Gleeson, Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, killing it.
Just killing it across the board. Also, Nicola Colan is going to be the lead in the new season of Bridgerton too.
Great.
Who is in Derry Girls.
Great.
And as well, I mean, Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, yes.
As well, like the amount of talent coming out of Ireland, which is such a small nation.
Yeah, and making its way all the way across the pond to Hollywood.
So now they're painting the full brush of like, oh, from greatness to trash. They're going all across the scale.
It's a full spectrum of an industry now.
Yes.
Out of them.
I like it. They've bloody earned it.
They absolutely have.
They've fucking hard for it.
And they do so good at action and drama, but God, they just nail it at comedy. And I do wish there was some of that in this movie.
If only there was some Irish people on the writing staff for this, it would have been actually funny.
Oh, Lord.
This is my one more point that I have to make. And I am noticing, we said at the start of the app how it's like this fantastic crap genre is growing.
Mm.
I'm wondering if studios, I mean, our favorite thing that we've watched this year is J-Lo, This Is Me Now, and The Greatest Love Story Never Told.
Oh, just remembering it.
A piece that will be studied for years and years and years and years.
Mm. I've started on my dissertation.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
What angle are you taking?
I'm not going to tell. But I will be a doctorate of Jennifer Lopez after this.
It doesn't make me wonder if studios are almost starting out projects being like, oh, this is something we're not going to make good, but we know people will watch it because people will talk about it online and say it's so crazy.
Fuck. That would be so cool if that's what's happening.
I mean, you would think, but who knows if studios put that much thought into how something's going
to
be.
If that's
received.
The background to that documentary by Jennifer Lopez, that's fucking genius.
Yeah.
Because she is the most talked about person on TikTok right now.
Oh, it would have absolutely soared the numbers.
But it's not the way she wanted, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she set out to do that.
No. But who she is made that happen.
Yeah.
Just her being made that happen.
Mm.
Cool. I love it. I love crap films that people talk about and make fun of. I love making fun of stuff.
I do. I do as well. But it's also important that we make good stuff too.
True. Yes.
But this one I wasn't mad at. Yeah. This one I wasn't mad at
this
at all.
This one was pretty good.
All right. Ratings. Oh, my God. How many plaid dresses? Oh, wardrobe in this was stunning, by the way.
Stunning, but all she wore was plaid.
Yes.
There was so many checkers on that screen.
So preppy. This movie was preppy as hell and vaguely Christian.
Yes. The bridesmaids' dresses. Very Handmaid's Tale.
And also as well, in all of the interviews, Lindsay just keeps lobbing in there. She's like, I pray a lot.
Oh.
So I think
she may be,
I wouldn't say found Jesus, but she's in touch.
She's met him.
She's got his number. And also, I didn't know, sorry, I'm lobbing all of the facts I've learned about this.
Please.
Just in the last minute. Her best friend in the movie, I can't remember what her name was, but Ayesha Curry.
Yes.
Is Steph, a basketball superstar, Steph Curry's wife.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
This is a cool cast.
I know.
How did they get this?
It's so, whoever was in charge of casting was like, just like, oh, who's around? Oh, you know that person? I'll bring him in.
Okay.
All right. How many preppy plaid dresses?
5.
You give 5?
Yeah. I had a fucking great time. Like, I've obviously got notes, but I don't want those notes to happen. Mm. I like it as it is. What about you?
I will give it 2 because it is not good. And I feel like because I've given great movies 5, I'm like, I can't give this one also 5. This was fun not because...
Because
all
the
things that make a movie good, that was not what was going on here at all.
Love it.
And 1.5 of those, like a dress and a skirt,
yep.
That's all for Lindsay.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she carried this film. Of course she did.
Yeah, and the other half is the Irish countryside.
Yeah, sure. half of the Irish cunts.
Half of the Irish cunts.
Well, hell yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Love this. Oh, dear. Right. Well,
That's our thoughts on Irish Wish.
What a great time. Please, we implore you guys to watch it. Mm. Oh, you have to watch it. It's so much fun.
Oh, my God. Let us know your favorite dialogue lines.
Yes, please. Remind me. I want to relive it. It's not enough time has passed yet to rewatch, but I want to relive.
Yes.
So, yes. Send us your favorite parts. And next week, we can very excitedly announce that we're doing, for our review episode, and we want you guys to watch along as well, we'll be doing the new sequel or the new remake of Roadhouse.
Yes.
With?
I've already started seeing clips online and I have to scroll past them because I'm like, don't show me anything.
I know, Gyllenhaal. Ooh.
Yes, Conor McGregor. Also, Lucas, it's Gage or Cage, isn't it? And he was also in new season 4.
Ah.
And so I just really like him. Okay. I like watching him on screen.
Cool. I'm so excited. And we'll be having cinephile Alexi Toliopoulos joining us for that episode.
I'm so excited.
Our first screen queen.
Oh, my God.
Ah, best.
All right. And as always, if you want to hear what's going on in our private lives or stuff that's, you know, screen adjacent, head over to Screen Queens Extra on our Patreon, or you can subscribe on the Apple Podcast feeds. For only a couple of dollars a month, you can support the podcast. And
it helps us so much.
It really does. It really, really does. And we love you.
We love you. Bye.